And good afternoon to you. I'm Al Cresta. You know, one of the passages in Scripture that I'm most excited about from going back many years now is in Luke chapter 6, verse 40. And we talk quite a bit about discipleship on this program, so you've heard me use this phrase in one paraphrase or another, use this verse. But here's from the New American Bible. No disciple is superior to the teacher, but when fully trained, every disciple will be like his teacher. This is, of course, the promise that as we continue as Jesus' learners, his students, his followers, that we will, in fact, be conformed to the teacher. And in my mind, this is the central organizing principle of the Catholic way of life, and at least at the personal level, and that is that we are seeking to be conformed to Jesus. With me right now to talk about a plan of life and developing those habits to help you grow closer to God is Father Roger Landry. He is a priest of the Diocese of Fall River, Massachusetts. He also works for the Holy See's Permanent Observer Mission at the United Nations. And he has written Plan of Life, Habits to Help You Grow Closer to God. He writes quite a bit. You probably have seen his columns and pieces in many Catholic publications. He's a popular retreat speaker and appears often on various Catholic radio programs. He's also National Chaplain for Catholic Voices USA. Father, it's good to have you here. Thanks.
It's great to be with you, Al, and with all your listeners, and thanks for that summary of Luke 6:40, because that's what I was trying to set out to write it and describe the how-to in Plan of Life.
It seems to me this, I call it the central organizing principle of the Catholic way of life. Is that a fair way of putting it?
Yes. The main aspect of our faith is not just to know what Jesus taught, it's to become like Jesus from the inside.
That's right.
And all that he seeks to do in his teaching, and especially in the sacraments, is to abide in us and help us to abide in him, not in a static way, but in a very dynamic way, through all our actions, through our work, through our family life, through our study, through our prayer, etc. And so the principal work of the Holy Spirit is to allow God to teach us from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus started it when he came down and took on our flesh, but he's entrusted this continuous work to God the Holy Spirit to help bring it about so that when people see Al Cresta or Roger Landry, they're seeing a little bit of our being conformed to Christ's image.
Yeah, and in that sense, that's how we bear witness, right? I mean, in a certain sense, we become like him, and in doing so, we're also I have to use words, of course, but the words are especially powerful if, in fact, Jesus is in some way reflected in who we are.
We seek to learn Jesus' virtues over the course of our life. As a priest, I always take my reference point from the patron saint of priests, St. John Vianney, popularly called the Curé of Ars. And what they used to say about him in the middle of the 19th century in southeast France, is when they looked at him, they saw Dieu dans un homme, God in a man. They saw a little bit of the divine image.
Yeah.
And that's what God wants to do in us. That's the work of the church. It's not an easy work. It's a lifelong work. It's mainly God's, but we need to know that that's the goal of our Catholic faith and cooperate with what God is doing. It's not just to be somebody who prays, pays, and obeys.
Right.
It's somebody who's supposed to be, by God's help, holy and merciful like the Father is merciful. And teleos is the Greek word, fit for purpose. We translate it as perfect. It's not perfect, meaning would never make mistakes, but we're developed aptly according to God's creative plan for us. That's what he wants to bring about. And so in Plan of Life, what I tried to do is describe many of the habits that can help us keep our presence with God and allow him to continue to do that work throughout the day. From the time we get up to the time we go to bed and various things in between, the secularist world wants us to separate that from God. What we need to do as Christians is try to unite our entire day to God's sanctifying work.
Yes. Now, at any given time, among our listeners here, there'll be those who are feeling on fire. There'll be those who are kind of cruising along, doing fine. There'll be those who are saying, oh my gosh, I wish I could jumpstart my spiritual life. I've got some sort of log jam. I need to break that up. If a person wants to jumpstart their spiritual life today, where do they begin?
I think they begin with some time of one-on-one conversation of life with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So what we would typically call mental prayer, not just saying Hail Marys or Our Father, but where we stop and we listen to God, we recognize that He's with us still, and He wants to get into this life-changing conversation with us. Sometimes that's going to happen with words, sometimes it's going to happen with thoughts, but the most important way that it happens is through an exchange of persons. And God really wants us to slow down sometimes and recognize that He is at not just with us, but He's at work within us, and to cooperate with that. Matthew Kelly, who wrote the prologue for this book,
mm-hmm.
is a good friend of mine, and many of your listeners, I'm sure, have read many of his wonderful books.
Sure.
Matt sometimes has confronted what many of our friends will say, that, listen, we don't have time to pray. We're so busy. Matt's genius
right.
was, hey, can you stop for one solid minute?
Right.
1 minute
right.
and pray to the Lord. Because it's easier to go from 1 minute to five and five to 15 than it is from zero to one.
Yep.
And so I think the real jump starter is when we just stop in the midst of whatever we're doing and give God that 1 minute or five or 10, because God, who created the world in such a short span of time, can really recreate us even in an instant.
Yeah. And again, to remember here that it's just stop. And even if we don't know how to pray, the very stopping and turning our attention to God may well ignite the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
One of my favorite saints said, if you don't know how to pray, just say to the Lord, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. And you're already praying well, because you're praying honestly, you're praying sincerely, and you're asking for the help that you need. And so, you know, sometimes we're raised to think that we should pray as we should, as the nuns who taught us in school did, or Father so-and-so. But the Lord wants us to pray as we are. There are beautiful books that can help us to pray better. But this is the conversation between a father and a child. And, you know, young children don't rehearse speeches before they talk to their loving dads. And Jesus encouraged us to have that type of confidence in talking to our Father, promising that He wasn't going to give us a stone when we asked for bread.
Mm. Now, assuming then that somebody does this, that the Holy Spirit meets them where they are, there's always, it seems to me, there's at some point along the way, fairly soon, there's an aspiration to make changes in one's daily life, to knowing that I've got to do better, I've got to spend more time in prayer, or I should do this or that. Where do you begin then with the next step of coming up with a plan for life?
So I think that there are a few pillars that I wrote about 18 different ones
mm-hmm.
in this work, but if I were to break down to the most essential ones,
yeah.
it would start with making time for God in prayer. Second, it would be having some type of relationship with Our Lady, because she shows us how to cooperate with what God wants to do.
Mm.
Third, it would be really prioritizing charity in our life, not just doing random acts of kindness, but having a plan, because the ultimate of living our Christian life is to love God with all we've got and to love our neighbor as God has loved us first. And so that just can't happen spontaneously.
Right, right.
We've got to have a game plan for that, like Bill Belichick game plans against opponent football teams.
Yeah.
The Eucharist, the church teaches that Jesus in the Holy Eucharist is the beginning and the end, the source and the summit of our life. And so to start, even if we can't attend Mass more frequently on Sunday, to start desiring at least to be able to unite ourselves to that incredible action that God is doing on the altars each day.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last of the pillars that I say is we've got to be frequent penitents. We've got to take advantage of that extraordinary treasure that God gave us on the day he rose from the dead, when he went into the upper room and gave the apostles the power to forgive sins in his name. Because when we make frequent confessions, we, examining ourselves, see exactly where we need God's help in order to unite ourselves to God. And the more we come and get that help in the sacrament, the stronger we will be to advance on the journey.
Yeah. My wife and I were talking this weekend about love and what it means. We're coming up on our 41st anniversary. And
congratulations.
Yeah, and it's...
She must be a saint.
I often say she really... I can't imagine what my life would be like without Sally. She's been incredibly... She's been a partner every step of the way here. But one of the things that I remember early on when I started following Christ as an adult, I knew that I was called to marriage. And I knew one of the reasons I was called to marriage is because I needed to learn how to love. And of course, marriage will do that. I mean, you're called to love. But at some point along the way, I stopped really thinking consciously about what it means to love. I was thinking, we're doing fine, you know. I love my wife. I love my kids. And recently, I've started saying, wait a minute. You've got a nice arrangement at home. Yes, people get along, people ask forgiveness when they confront, it's good. But how do I go beyond that to be more sacrificial, to be more generous? And I'm finding that actually you have to be conscious of it. You've got to try to work to be consciously loving, right?
Sure. When I prepare couples for marriages, one of the statements of intention before they pronounce their vows is, will you love and honor each other as husband and wife for the rest of your life? And I say this doesn't just mean happily ever after. This means that each day you've got a choice of your will to sacrifice for the other and love to the point of willing the other's good, even above your own, and honoring, really lifting the person up with praise. And we've got to do that each day. In a similar way, we need to be very practical in terms of the love of God and the love of neighbor. It just can't be something that happens.
Yep.
We can't take it for granted. But, you know, each day we wake up, I try to say, is there one person I can reach out to today to be able to just bring a little bit of the love and the presence of Jesus?
Yeah. Father, let me thank you again for being with me. Always wonderful talking, and we'll chat again. Thank you.
Thanks, Al.
The book is called Plan of Life, Habits to Help You Grow Closer to God. Wonderfully written, very insightful, and also very sensitive.